Time now to get back to our special series on education called Enrolled, with a subject that some argue has fallen out of fashion. A group of subjects, actually. Students and parents know we're living in a world of big data and the need for a good STEM education. STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. Because our economy will increasingly rely on that quartet of subjects. A decade ago, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics set the mood with an article called "What Can I Do with a Liberal Arts Degree?" The first line reads, "What are you going to do with that? Do you want to be a teacher?" According to the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, fewer students are studying the liberal arts now than a few decades ago. But in this day and age, does it make more sense to know how to code or to study 14th century Aztec architecture? Or do you need to know both? Joining us from Radio Art Studios in Manhattan is Graziella Parati. She's a professor of Italian language, comparative literature, women's and gender studies, and she is the director of the Leslie Center for the Humanities at Dartmouth. Professor Parati, welcome to 1A.
Thank you for having me on the program.
Also with us from WAER Public Radio in Syracuse, New York, is Jerry Greenberg, a professor and the Senior Associate Dean of Academic Affairs, Humanities, Curriculum, Instruction, and Programs at Syracuse University. Professor Greenberg, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And joining us from Nantucket Island in Massachusetts is John Horgan, a science journalist, professor, and director of the Center for Science Writings at the Stevens Institute of Technology. Professor Horgan, glad to have you with us.
Good to be here.
We would also love to hear from you because we know lots of you do have college degrees. We'd love to know your story, whether or not your major, liberal arts, humanities, or otherwise, counted for anything when you went for a job. And if you had it to do over again, would you still pursue that liberal arts education? Would you go towards something more technical? Would you go to college at all? Comment on our Facebook page, tweet us at 1A, or email 1A@wamu.org. Professor Parati, let me start with you. Can we get the terminology straight? First of all, I hear liberal arts, I hear humanities. What's the difference?
Well, liberal arts means that the students are exposed to very, very different subjects, including the STEM subjects that you started talking about at the beginning of the program. At the same time, they're exposed to the humanities, that is the study that is qualitative and not quantitative of the world, of cultures, of what humans have produced throughout the centuries. Centuries, including today.
So humanities are kind of included in a liberal arts education. Is that it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What would you say to those? What would you say is the reason, Professor Parati, why it's important to study all of these different subjects? I mean, in the long run, there are plenty of people who do study them and do well, and do study them and do poorly, and who don't study them and do well, and who don't study them and do poorly. What would you say is the one key difference that having this kind of broad-based education makes?
Well, the humanities allow you to look at the world around you in many, many different ways. Let me put it this way. I speak with an accent, and that means they also think with an accent. And therefore, my approach to the world is different than other people's who are, I would say, sadly monolingual. The fact that people go to college and learn other languages, it means that they will approach the world in a different way. They will be more of the kind of global citizens that we need to have in today's world. It does not mean that they should not study the sciences or that shouldn't be proficient in many other subjects. But the humanities play a fundamental role in creating a life and in approaching any kind of work that you have and will have in the future. It is the kind of subject that prepares you for a changing job market.
Right.
Now you are in college, now you're learning specific things that are useful to finding a job right now. But the market is changing, changes very quickly. You do also need to train your brain to think in different way, to approach things from very different point of view.
Yeah, and to that point, in terms of a changing job market, President Obama gave an interview to the tech website Recode in 2015 about some of this change in the market, specifically focusing on STEM careers.
STEM education, huge priority. Homegrown, we've got to have our kids in math and science, and it can't just be a handful of kids. It's got to be everybody. Everybody's got to learn how to code early.
That's President Obama in 2015 saying that all kids need to learn STEM, specifically coding, to help them secure a prosperous future and to help keep the U.S. competitive. Professor Horgan, I know we got to pause in just a minute, but I wonder how you see the value in STEM up against the value of a broader liberal arts degree. Did they balance each other out, or are they kind of in tension with in a state of tension with one another?
Well, I teach at an engineering school, and so the vast majority of the kids are majoring in engineering, computer science, technical disciplines, or they're preparing for degrees in medicine or careers in finance. So I'm not trying to encourage them to major in the humanities. I'm trying to get them to accept the need for taking any humanities courses at all. And I tell them that in their technical, scientific, engineering courses, they're getting a lot of knowledge. They're getting a lot of information. In the humanities courses, at least the way that I teach them, they're getting doubt and uncertainty that actually undercuts or at least gets them to question a lot of what they're learning in their other courses. And I see that as essential to just being a human being.
Yeah.
Not necessarily being a doctor or an engineer or a computer scientist.
We will continue in just a moment with Professor John Horgan of the Stevens Institute of Technology, Professor Graciela Perotti of Dartmouth, and Professor Jerry Greenberg of Syracuse. We'll get to some more of your questions and thoughts as well. This dichotomy between the liberal arts and STEM, do we need to integrate them more for the sake of our economy? Stay close. Our education series, Enrolled, continues tomorrow with a look at campus safety, and we'd love to hear from you. School gets back in session tomorrow at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, the site of that horrific mass shooting on Valentine's Day. It's just one of many schools concerned about keeping kids safe after a violent incident, most of which will never make headlines. If you are heading back to school, how are you feeling about safety on campus? Is enough being done? Is too much being done? Leave us a voicemail, 855-236-1A1A. If you are a student, a parent, or a teacher, what would reassure you about your campus being safe? What's on your mind regarding safety as school gets in session? Tell us your story. 855-236-1A1A. Or use our new app, 1A Vox Pop, to send us a radio quality audio file and to keep up to date on future topics. We'll share some of your stories tomorrow on 1A. Back now to our conversation with Jerry Greenberg of Syracuse, Graciela Perotti of Dartmouth, and John Horgan of the Stevens Institute of Technology. Aaron tweeted, I got a BA in English with a minor in psychology. I have worked as a technical writer for software and hardware for 10 years. I use my degree every day. I highly recommend liberal arts education. I also think an internship in the field you want to enter is very helpful. Jillian emailed, as someone who majored in music, I can say that finding a job in or outside my field was difficult. Having a BA, however, has made my life much richer in skill sets that have nothing to do with my major. Discipline, an appreciation for beauty and hard work, critical thinking, the ability to analyze and interpret the world around me. These are all skills that can be valued in the workplace if hiring managers are willing to look at students without a business degree. Professor Greenberg, Jillian's comment gets right into what I wanted to ask you about, which are the benefits of having this kind of a liberal arts education. What kind of advantages do you see among students with a broader liberal arts education that come through Syracuse compared to those who are just super duper laser focused on one field and don't bother to get a broader education?
Well, I'd have to agree with pretty much all that's been said up to this point. The humanities are an integral part of a liberal arts education, as are the social sciences and the natural sciences. And the point is that when you have a liberal arts education, you're looking at different fields from different angles, sometimes the same fields from different angles. And the point is that you get to integrate what you're learning from different fields to figure out how things apply in different areas that you may not have seen if you hadn't had that other experience. And that's sort of the issue with the humanities, I think, is they have an image problem these days in this world of instant gratification, as was mentioned earlier. You really have to dig in to study things when you're studying the humanities. They're hard. They don't have immediate answers to – sometimes they don't even have immediate questions. It takes a lot of work and analysis and reflection to figure out what's important, how to deal with what's important, and how that affects people who might be involved in things that are going around. So I think that's part of the problem.
Jerry, give us a sense of how the curricula are set for colleges. Granted, every college is different, so I don't want you to speak outside of your knowledge or expertise, but different schools have different standards for how much of a liberal arts education their students absolutely have to get, or whether or not you can, for example, test out of certain subjects. I mean, I tested out of English, Spanish, and history through my AP test scores, which a lot of schools allow. Some schools say, nope, you have to take our curriculum of liberal arts because we want everyone to be equally rounded. Talk a bit about how that works and who determines at the school level what kind of a liberal arts education its students need to have.
Well, interestingly enough, here in New York State, the state requires that at least 50% of all Bachelor of Science degrees would be in liberal arts courses. So that automatically shapes what goes on here in New York State. But I'd say, generally speaking, different schools throughout the country have different amounts of topics or courses from the humanities, the social sciences, and natural sciences as part of some sort of general education or liberal arts course. So it's hard to tell. Different schools have different sorts of strengths, so they really play to their strengths in that regard. But I think the point is that they all try to provide an education that crosses different fields so that students can get that opportunity and experience crossing boundaries and being able to take from one field into another.
Professor Perotti, how did we get to this cultural moment where we're kind of looking at the humanities as fields that are given kind of less credence than other disciplines, the humanities within liberal arts? I mean, Patrick tweeted, "I think the humanities are a relic of a time when universities were polishing schools for the privileged classes. Learning a trade should come first in higher education these days." All of the founding fathers came out of this tradition of the Enlightenment, which wouldn't exist if you didn't have a sense of the humanities. If our founders didn't have some sense of the humanities, there probably would be no United States of America as we see it today. And yet we don't value these broad-based educations the way we used to. How did we get to this point?
Well, the humanities were dominating the curriculum in the past, so that scientists came to science through the humanities. And that is a very interesting point, because it tells us that subjects are not separated. The creation of knowledge is not made by studying just one particular thing, but studying across the board as many things as possible. We have come to this point because we started focusing on individuals that after college will find a job, will make money. And there is an incredible emphasis on making money, on measuring your success according to the kind of salary that you will make. And we're pushing the universities to become vocational places. Universities instead, in particular those who prepare the students in liberal arts, so studying subjects across the board, prepare students to the construction of knowledge that is done thinking about the complexity of things. So students, because they are, I mean, my students are between 18 and 22 years of age, so they are very enthusiastic when they reach a conclusion, when there is a choice that is binary. It's a yes or is a no. The humanities pushes them into being more mature and focus on the complexity of things. So it problematize everything again. That is not an easy thing.
No.
It's a lot easier to say yes, no, white or black. And let's, however, keep it in mind that this, we have to create the future and the future ways in which people approach knowledge. It is important to keep people thinking that the humanities, and within the humanities, you created a type of knowledge that opens up things rather than reaching rigid and strong conclusions.
Yeah, and having kind of a broad-based view of the world and of humanity makes a difference, especially in this booming technological era. Deborah emailed, "I am a professor of computer science, but my bachelor's was in English. Computer scientists are making moral and ethical judgments in the design of technologies that they are poorly educated to make. Why was Mark Zuckerberg as surprised by the problems with Facebook? Ignorance of history, culture, psychology, literature, and most of all, critical thinking." Dominic writes, "I am a senior unified communications engineer with a philosophy in BA and a humanities MA, or a philosophy BA and a humanities MA. Technology is changing every day, but critical thinking and qualitative and quantitative analysis stay the same. No regrets about my education, except maybe the student loans." Jerry Greenberg, there's also a political aspect to the shift in perspective on a liberal arts education, and it's the liberal part. There was a parent, a woman named Sally Phillips, who spoke on Fox News to discuss what she viewed as an attempt to indoctrinate her daughter. Phillips's daughter came home with an assignment that apparently labeled conservatives as pessimistic and liberals as optimistic. Here's what Sally Phillips told Fox News.
"It's really not critical thinking, it's insidious indoctrination of our child. Mm. And I'm speaking out in hopes that other parents will speak out when they see things like this, because I think that people are afraid to. And we need to empower them to, you know, bring awareness."
That's Sally Phillips speaking on Fox News. Now, her daughter had yet to reach college, but her concerns and fears do echo some that are frequently heard about liberal arts colleges in general. And it's the liberal part, that they're just kind of social justice warrior factories. I mean, what do you make of this political aspect of this debate, Jerry?
Well, I think that's the kind of debate that you're going to have in a situation like that whenever you have the word liberal involved. I actually had a piece on that in the Washington Post, that the liberal arts really refers to the fact that liberal means free, and arts comes from the word that is skills. So liberal arts were the skills that people needed to be successful free citizens in society. So this is part of the same thing that we've been talking about for the past several minutes, is that the idea of understanding this on the surface, you have to scratch beneath the surface to understand what's really going on here. And the liberal arts don't have anything to do with being conservative or liberal. In fact, there are some very conservative schools that have very strong liberal arts programs, because we're talking about different things. And that's part of the problem in talking about education these days, is that people are saying, using the same words, but they have different things in mind when they say them.
John Horgan, how do you see it, the political aspect of this debate over the liberal arts?
Well, it's interesting that this this parent was worried about her child being indoctrinated. I see liberal arts humanities, let's say, as the opposite of indoctrination. What I try to do in my classes is get my kids, my students, to start questioning all their beliefs, whether they are religious, political, whether they're on the left or on the right, and ask themselves really fundamental questions. What is truth anyway? How do we know what we know? Why do we give science so much authority? Why is capitalism so ascendant? Maybe we should challenge the values of capitalism while also acknowledging that communism has been a colossal failure, at least in the last century. So I think one of the biggest problems in the world today is too much certitude and intellectual arrogance. And the humanities are a counterforce to that. And that, to me, is an essential part of being human, never being too sure of ourselves and recognizing that humanity is a work in progress and we're constantly changing. Our ideas about ourselves are constantly changing. And the ancient Greeks and Shakespeare and Kant, people like that, had ideas that are still worth listening to when it comes to figuring out what we are.
That gets into a comment from Mark, who emailed, "I'm in the first year of a PhD in English. There's great anxiety among my cohort about our financial futures, and there's a push for us to learn digital humanities. But in an age where politicians' tweets affect world affairs, I maintain that it's vital to have a populace that can analyze language and not take everything they read at face value. It's not a coincidence that the American government is prioritizing mechanical thinking over critical thinking in an era of increasing surveillance and authoritarianism." Professor Prati, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. I know we got to let y'all go in just a few minutes, but that does make us think of the fact that if you look back at authoritarian regimes, one of the first things that they attack are the arts and education, and particularly liberal arts. We found a speech from Adolf Hitler back in 1933 where he rails against what he deemed the degenerate culture of the arts.
Diese Welle von Verpestung unseres ganzen kulturellen Lebens.
He says, quote, "This decay of our culture, these mounds of contamination of our whole cultural life, the decomposition of our literature, the poisoning of our theaters, of our movie theaters, all the art is now falling for it. Millions of Germans do not participate anymore. It does not appeal to them anymore. This art was not born from our people. It is alien to us and will remain alien," unquote. Professor Prati, is that what we see throughout history, that this broad-based ability to critically analyze the world, including in academia, begins to come under attack?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I teach history of fascism, and fascism grounded itself in preventing people from thinking. Using aesthetic tools only for the goal of supporting a regime. Nobody should tell people what they need to know, what kind of culture they have to embrace. And that's what dictatorships do. So calling art, a particular kind of art, degenerate, is saying you cannot think differently. You cannot experiment. You just have to be the obedient citizen that follows what the dictator wants.
Before we go, I would like to get some of your advice for students who are trying to choose between a degree in the hard sciences versus a more broad-based liberal arts education. What would you suggest to them? If I could go around very briefly and hear from all three of you, if there's a student who's on the fence, what would you suggest? Jerry Greenberg, what's your suggestion?
I suggest that they really sample everything and figure out what it is that they like, and not to be afraid to move forward with something that other people would not recommend to you.
John Horgan?
Well, stick with your engineering major. That's what you came to my school for. But consider a minor in philosophy or literature or history, because your life will be better for it.
And Graziella Parati?
Well, I'd like to quote Paulson, who came to Dartmouth for a commencement speech, and he was the economic advisor during the George W. Bush administration. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I will only hire people who have a major in the humanities because I can teach them something else. But they are bringing something important to my office, and that is the ability to look at things differently.
Graziella Parati.
So I would tell a student, don't be afraid of majoring in the humanities.
Graziella Parati of Dartmouth, Jerry Greenberg of Syracuse, and John Horgan of the Stevens Institute of Technology. Thank you all for speaking to us. I'm Joshua Johnson, and thank you for listening. This is 1A.